Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to
Mile High Hockey Lab.
Welcome to the Mile High Hockey Lab. My name is Adrian Hernandez. I am joined by Evan and Jackie today. We are going to be talking all things Colorado Avalanche. If you enjoy this live broadcast, be sure to subscribe on YouTube. And if you are unable to catch the live broadcast, don't forget that we post all of these broadcasts on Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, Audible, Megaphone, podcasts available prior, or excuse me, following the broadcast. So, without further ado, let's just drop the puck and get right into it, because I think we have a lot to talk about, especially with the first topic. So, the first topic is the poll of the week, and our poll of the week was, why are the Avalanche so damn injured this season? And I gave fans four different options, and I thought two of them were hilarious and two of them were realistic, so that's kind of my approach. First option was short off season. Second option was bad luck. The third option was the dented Stanley curse. And let's see here. The fourth option is Binnington casting spells. So I'll start with you, Evan. Tell me, of the four, what would you have chosen? And as you can see, bad luck won the race. What's your choice?
Yeah, I was going to say bad luck won. I may or may not have voted for Binnington cursing the Avs because that just seems like such a Jordan Binnington thing to do. Yeah. But I could dive down that rabbit hole later. Point being, though, it's the bad luck that I think has gotten to the Avs. You could throw in the short offseason as well. I mean, Landeskog was still having his knee issues after getting surgery after winning the cup and then getting surgery again.
Right.
So, you know, you can look at it both ways, I feel like, but we're just getting the bad luck out of the way now rather than in April and May, thank goodness.
Yeah, and Jackie, I'll ask you the same question. Do you think it's a combination maybe of like the short off season and bad luck, or are you more leaning towards just bad luck also?
No, I think it's several things. luck is definitely part of it. It always sort of seems to happen at this time of year. There were injuries last year to start the season, but
it's true.
I do think the short off season, it's just less recovery time for everybody, anything that was nagging. Some of them definitely seem like new injuries, but you also can't tell. So it just makes you wonder. But I also think something we talked about is the lack of depth.
Yeah.
And it was something we talked about just even a week into the season, was just going to start to overtax everybody. And I don't necessarily think the injuries are maybe like an overwear type of thing, but it just happens. You're on the ice more. You're more susceptible because we have lost some of the better players, the ones that play a lot of minutes. So I think just having them out there longer is makes them more susceptible to risk. And then, so I think it's all part of it. So some just, it's just that time of year, and some, they kind of created the situation a little bit.
Yeah. I would say too, like rolling off of like the creating the situation point, it seems pretty clear to me that like Landeskog in particular was not as healthy as we were led on to believe based on his playing in the Stanley Cup final.
Definitely. He was never at morning skate.
Right.
So I think it was clear that like he was just doing all he could just to play the game.
Yeah.
So,
well, I even saw I saw a story that, you know, Megna, somebody said, you know, people don't think about some of these depth guys and their contribution to cup wins. But like one of the weird things that he did was he and Landeskog wore the same size mitts. And because Landeskog wasn't taking any morning skates, the morning of game 6, Landeskog bought brand new Warrior gloves,
but he knew he wasn't going to be in morning skate to break them in. So he actually had Magna take morning skate in his gloves so that they would be broken in for game. So it's like, that goes to show, like you said, he wasn't even taking morning skate. And I thought that was kind of like a cool anecdote about Magna and kind of how those depth guys and AHL guys really contributed last year.
For sure. Yeah.
That's really unique. I didn't know that. I don't know where you pulled that out of, but that's really cool.
Yeah.
That was Peter Baugh's book.
Yeah. I think I saw somebody quoted, Peter's book and said that. I was just kind of blown away by it. I haven't actually read the book, so now I'm going to have to go buy it and read the book, because that's
you're tempting me now. Yeah. Magna's reward for that. He gets on waiver to Arizona, or not Arizona, Anaheim. So
right.
Good on him.
And speaking of waivers, I think one of the hot topics has been Martin Kaut hitting the waiver wire, and he's survived. He's still a Colorado Avalanche, and I think that everyone on this panel is happy about that, but I think most of us, it's probably Jackie, because I know Jackie, he's got a special place in your heart. Are you glad to see him clear? Do you think he's going to stay in the A, or they'll bring him back up?
I'm kind of not glad that he cleared, because I think he deserves an opportunity elsewhere.
Right.
I think he has proven that he's at least NHL quality.
Okay.
And I mean, it would be bittersweet. Not like I want to see him gone, but if it's not going to work out here, I'd rather see him have a career than not, because the window is so short. Like you could only have so long to have a second chance somewhere else. So I don't know. I think they should bring him back, just because I think he's the best quality of anybody that they've called up. So I want the team to be better, and I think having the others play makes the team worse. So, I mean, he's going to play well in the AHL because he has for the last several years.
Right.
And it would be hard to justify never bringing him up again, but you could also look at, if they've just decided he doesn't fit, then
what else?
Then yeah. Why keep forcing it? But so it's very strange to me. I don't know why nobody would want him at this point. It's odd, and I don't think I think there's a lot of theories out there. There's like something going on that people don't, you know, something bad that everybody that behind closed doors knows. I don't think it's anything like that. I think that's kind of ridiculous. It's just really hard for depth guys to really find a role, and some do and some don't. And it almost just seems kind of like whoever's favored, whoever fits.
Yeah.
Gets that, and so yeah, that's how I feel about it. I'm very disappointed, and I just wish that he had a chance somewhere else, I guess, at this point.
Yeah, that's a good point, and I can see now that you've kind of shed that light, how you could feel that way, especially given your likeness for Kaut. And I think if you read between the lines, Bednar had that comment of like, if you quit, yada yada yada. And then we saw Kaut be sent down and be put on waivers and stuff. I think if you look a little too far into that, you can draw some conclusions that might not actually even be there.
Right. That's how I feel. Yeah. I think it's a bit unfair to him, because it's not like he got benched in that game. And like, you can look at the analytics. Like, he was doing so many good things. And yeah, I just think people want to look for a reason why a 16th overall pick can't stick. So it has to be something like that. And
yeah.
I think that's really unfair.
For sure.
And I mean, that game was rough as a whole anyway. You're playing the league leading Boston Bruins, who've lost three games all year, just walloped Colorado just days before in their barn. Right.
Right.
Like, you know, I get what Bednar was saying with the, you know, don't quit attitude. Like, of course, that makes 100% perfect sense. But it's hard to do it when you have AHL players in your lineup. And it's hard for him to probably even coach them at this point. I think he did mention a comment of like, you know, I'm not able to like fully coach. I haven't like sat down and talked with them yet about their play.
Right.
So
how can I? Yeah. So, he's like, I'm not going to tell them about their game when I haven't even met with them, essentially.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a long process at this point, and you just need players back. So if you need players, Jared, I'm here. I put the jersey on today for a specific reason. I am 5'10", like 220. And haven't skated in a long time or puck handled. So
I was gonna say,
I'm your guy.
He's probably gonna.
But are you good enough The room.
Yeah.
You're good in the room.
I'll do my best in the room. I'll fill
that's
Gabe's
the kicker,
hole.
Right, Jackie? Yeah, that's so funny. So with all of these injuries, I think one of the things that I've like really started to focus on as somebody who can't help but look way too far ahead most of the time, I'm starting to worry about how long and how far the Avs can kind of slide before it's too late when guys start to really come back and we start to see the roster look like it's supposed to. Like, here's my reasoning, and I'll lay it out on the table and then you guys can take it from there. So this month of December, the Avalanche probably play more games in this month than in any other month of the season. Add to that the fact that they play probably the least in any month. I think it's March maybe, or February, they play the least amount of games. So basically I'm saying now is when they're injured and now is when they're playing games. And then they're going to get healthy, but there might not be enough games to make up to stay in the picture. We'll start with you, Jackie. How far down the line do you think this can go, and how far out of the picture do you think the Avs can be and win and still have a chance to make the playoffs?
I am kind of avoiding looking like at the standings or this, or especially every day. I think what helps is that they're not playing the West as much right now, and especially their division. So it is a lot of Eastern Conference teams. And the spring will be a lot more of, because the Avs haven't played really the Pacific very much at all. And then they've played every team in their division except Arizona at this point. So they've done okay against their division so far. So I guess what I'm saying is right now they're playing a lot of the East. And so maybe at this point that's sort of an okay schedule, aside from the fact they are playing every other day. But it's how far. I don't really think it's points as much as you don't want to have to climb over too many teams. Okay. I wouldn't want to see them slip under St. Louis, who struggled as well. I guess that's my sort of bar, that because I believe St. Louis is still several points behind.
Yeah, they're sitting at 24 and we're at 27. So yeah, you're exactly.
Yeah. Right. So this game upcoming this weekend would be big for that. You just don't want to be behind like four or five teams to get in a playoff spot, because it's so hard to pass multiple teams. I think they're doing okay. They're still at least over 500. Obviously the cushion's gone, so they pretty much need to keep playing at 500, I think, which is possible. So that's kind of what I'm looking for. If it starts to get any worse than that, then you really start getting concerned. I don't think they're yet though.
Yeah, and what I'm mostly worried about is, like, when you look at the Pacific and then you look at the wild card, the Kraken are kind of a surprise, right? Like, we didn't expect them to really be a part of the Pacific race. So, and we did expect Edmonton and we did expect Calgary to, and they're the two wild card teams in the West right now. So, like, if the standings stayed the way they were today, the Avs are out because they're not in the top three in the Central. And I think that might end up being the case, even if the teams are kind of jumbled differently. I still think the Pacific might snag two wild card spots. So it becomes super important to win these divisional games and to stay competitive inside the Central. And tell me, you know, Evan, maybe you can expand a little bit on that. Like, for example, we're 1 point out of the Central right now behind the Wild, who essentially have the same record as us other than another OTL. How many points or how many games back from that third spot in the Central do you think is a comfortable place?
I kind of agree with Jackie. Getting under St. Louis is when it would get really tough.
Okay.
Because looking at the standings, you still have Nashville and St. Louis behind us. They're pretty much neck and neck, and then Arizona and Chicago are in their own league. They get down there, then there's other issues to talk about besides injuries. But right. Point being, that does make this upcoming game against St. Louis primetime national TV, you know, even bigger than, you know, it would have been before. So, I kind of agree with Jackie there, like getting under St. Louis, but also something that is of the benefit for the Avs is that they've only played 24 games.
Right.
And so they haven't played that many teams, and they have They have their week-long trip to Finland to, help them out there. They only played two games in like a week or whatever. So, they still they have only played 24 games. Looking ahead in the standings, Winnipeg and Minnesota have both played 25 games. Dallas has played 27 games. If you want to look at the wild card race again, Edmonton and Calgary have played 27 and 26 respectively. St. Louis has played 27 games. So, I'm not too concerned right now about dropping fully out of the playoffs. What
Right.
I'm most concerned about is obviously how far out
We
do
get.
you fall,
That's
right?
my major concern, and like let me you make a great point, 24 games only, but that sounds scarier when I tell you before the year's end they'll have played 35. They'll play 11 games between including tonight's game between now and the 31st of January. So like that doesn't even make sense to me when you just like think about the day of the month it is right now, but they're gonna do it one way or another. And like you said, that's kind of what I'm worried about is getting too far away. And we'll circle back to you guys talking about the Blues game coming up, and we'll also circle back to Binnington casting spells. Do you think that like there will always be that weird spotlight and that weird energy between the Avalanche and Blues now that all that has passed with Binnington and all that's gone on, Jackie?
Yes, I do, because I think the Blues are sort of the Avs' rival right now. I do feel like it's Minnesota, even though a lot of people would hope would disagree and kind of wish it wasn't. But yeah, especially after last year and the weird Binnington stuff, even though Kadri's gone, it does just always seem like there is animosity between the two teams. And now, if they're fighting in the same position in the standings, that's just going to add more fuel to the fire. So, and I think they're just a lot more dislikable than Minnesota. There's a lot of fun players on the Wild now. I don't hate them as players. You know, you just don't like them because they're Minnesota.
Right.
But like St. Louis, you hate the players more, I guess you could
Exactly.
say. Like you, so I do feel like there's still something there, even though, it's not exactly that about Binnington, but he's still just an idiot. So that can keeps on continuing. So it will be interesting to see if there's a little bit of juice there for that game coming up.
Yeah. Well, thank you, folks, for we had 218 voters on that poll of the week, which I only think it lasted like a couple of days. So that's pretty good considering, the dorkiness of the answers with the dented Stanley curse. And you know what's funny too? I sent out a tweet. I was like, "Hey, I think we should just like write a like bunch of letters and send them to the keepers of the cup, like apology letters on behalf of the Colorado Avalanche, and just see if that maybe starts reversing this injury curse." And although I hate to do it and keep talking about injuries, that's kind of my only choice. And I think Jackie, you told me that you feel pretty confident in breaking down when you think a couple of people might be back. So just roll through them for me then, if that's how you
All
feel.
right, I'll try my
Yeah,
best here.
I was gonna say I tried for my opinion piece. Let's hear what Jackie's got.
Okay, obviously we expect Nichushkin back tonight, which would be
Be
fantastic.
awesome.
Lekkonen, it does sound like he's on that concussion protocol, which lasts about a week. If you can progress through the steps without setbacks, which it sounds like he has, because you can see he's been skating and then skating with the group non-contact, then today he skated with the group and took contact. So I think he could even be a possibility for the Blues game on Sunday.
Great.
Helm. It's a little difficult to peg with Helm just because of his age, how long the recovery's been, that he had to have the second surgery. But I would say maybe next week. It's really hard to peg a game at this point. But if you believe he's getting close and you believe he's continuing to progress, I don't think there's a lot of just him taking contact in a practice or in a morning skate seems like the last thing he needs to do. And then maybe sometime next week. I'd say Rodriguez, he is on the ice skating. I think it's a little bit less than what Helm and Lehkonen have been doing. Benner reiterated the 3 to 4 week timeline, which the middle of next week would be, I believe, is 3 weeks.
Okay.
So I would say maybe by the end of next week, or the beginning of the following week, if things continue to progress with him. Now, it's easier to say on all of those players I just mentioned because they've been on the ice. So once they appear on the ice, you can start to see the steps progress for them. The ones that aren't on the ice, a little bit more tough to peg. With Byram, it's unfortunate because he was on the ice and then now he isn't. So there seems to have been some sort of setback there. But I would imagine, because he waited 3 weeks from when he missed the game to get back on the ice. And I think he's been off the ice now at least a week. So I would say maybe in a week or two, you could start to see progress from him. And then, like I said, once these guys hit the ice, you can kind of figure about a week or two out for them. So if I had to say maybe by the end of the month, I also think the same for McDermott. I think he was briefly on the ice at some point, but not in like a lengthy. So I'd say both of them the end of the month. Let's see who's left. Landy, his 3 week, or not 3 week, 3 month timeline would have put him in mid-January. I know he's been on the ice a little bit, not really in conditioning, but really just trying to see how the knee feels on the ice.
Right.
But the good news with him is that he's continuing to do it. So it wasn't just once. So I think he's really eager to get out there and maybe push himself a little bit if everything still feels good. So I still think mid-January is a possibility there for him. Who am I missing? Well, McKinnon just got hurt, so a month would put him about early January.
Yeah.
Manson, Bednar said a month for him, so I think he's about similar as McKinnon at this point. I'd say early January. So hopefully you see like Byram before the end of the year, and then maybe you could see Manson and McKinnon right after the new year.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is a good wave of forwards in the beginning of January. And then a possible elite wave of forwards middle to late January, and then some defense help as well
in the middle,
middle to late January. So it sounds like it really, Evan, it sounds like this is kind of a strategy, because I bet you they're actually sitting some guys longer than they typically would. But I think given the situation, it's like if we can get all these guys back kind of all at once, in order to insulate them from getting hurt again while somebody else is still healing, maybe that's the smartest approach. What do you think?
It could be a strategy. I haven't really thought about it like that. It could be a strategy. It could also just be playing it safe. But then if you play it safe, you run the risk of obviously running with this AHL team for, the next month. And, I know as I said it off air right before we started, but mentally prepare yourself for this month to be not the best.
Yeah, that's why I titled it Daunting December, because I kind of felt like
exactly
the Bruins was kind of the precursor, I feel like, for how this month might shake out. And it might not be as bad as that, but it's going to be definitely a shade of it.
Yeah, it's not going to be like January of last season where you win all but one game because of a referee mistake that
that's right.
Hoo boy. But anyway, point being, the nice beneficiary of all this is that you get time to heal up, and it's early in the season still. And, while it's early in the season still, and you're out of the playoff race right now, at least, it's not something to be too concerned about at the moment. You just have to get through this month, get McKinnon, Rant, or not Rantanen, McKinnon, Landeskog, Helm, whoever else, back in January. And then I know Bowers is also, I think it was 6 weeks or something like that. And then
but he'll just go back to the Eagles. Yeah.
He'll go back to the Eagles at that point, and so will Maltsev, but I know he's out also long term. That was a bad injury. But kind of kind of circling back to the playing it safe, I guess, strategy. I actually kind of think it's the opposite, at least in terms of Nichushkin, because Nichushkin is planning to return tonight, planning to be in the lineup from the sounds of it, which, first off, phenomenal, great. Hopefully he has a big impact, lonely by himself on the second line or first line or wherever Bednar ends up putting him through the jumbly mess. But I almost kind of feel like it's opposite, because Nichushkin hasn't been, I feel like he hasn't skated for that long leading up to,
like, you think he's been rushed back
for this.
Essentially.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Compared to the other guys.
Okay.
And I think that just might have something to do with just because, you know, there are 11 players out of the lineup, mm-hmm. and, you know, there's so many holes to fill and not enough NHL caliber talent to get you there, that Bednar has been wanting at least somebody different to come in. And, you know, he's finally getting that with Val. So, you know, I kind of think it might be opposite there, because if I'm not mistaken, I think he's only skated for like a week, week and a half or so after his surgery. I'd have to go back and look on Twitter, but yeah.
That makes sense to me too, actually, now that you mention it. But I think, like, I guess what I'm trying to describe isn't necessarily that they were like, oh, we're injured, let's hunker down. I think, like, what we saw with MacKinnon is that it's dangerous to put these elite talent guys out there with some of these AHL type rosters, and it's almost better for the future of not getting re-injured that the big guns kind of all come back together, so that they don't come back to a roster that might make them a little bit more vulnerable, especially when, like, if you think about how many minutes MacKinnon and Makar were playing early on this season, you know, that's like not typical of early season hockey for your stars like that to be getting so much ice time. And it had everything to do with just injuries. So yeah, like I could see how, like, right now it's more like what their focus is starting to turn toward, okay, now we need to get these guys back, 'cause we're kind of running out of time here. So I could see that with Nichushkin maybe taking less skates. I could see that, as Jackie said, with Landeskog kind of like testing the waters maybe more than he typically would to get back a little bit faster. I know reports say that he's been pretty active, at least in the weight room, which I know is like really important for conditioning and stuff like that for a lot of these guys. So that's a good sign. One of the things I didn't really list on our script, but I did want to talk about with you, Jackie, was how has this whole injury wave impacted the Eagles? Has it kind of also left holes in their roster in a similar way?
Definitely. And the crazy thing is they keep winning. I don't know offhand what it is, but I think they've only lost like once in the last 10 games or something. I mean,
something like that. Yeah. They've been going nuts.
It has been remarkable. And they have needed to bring up some players from the Utah Grizzlies, which several of them were either on NHL contract like Klerman or AHL contract like Cam Wright, Tarun Pfizer, Ben Tardif. So these are at least players that are familiar with the system or in camp at some point or something like that. So they're not just total like new faces, warm bodies. I think they do have one guy in on a PTO. The other crazy thing is they lost Jaravlyov, went back to Russia, and so did Rob Hamilton, which that's really shocking that a Canadian would leave in the middle of the season to go to the KHL. So they had to make a trade. They got David Ferentz. I believe he played with Bowers at Boston University. So I don't know if there was a connection there as the reason, but so they've done a little bit to try to bolster their depth there. But it really is a credit to the coaching staff, because every single game the lineup is different. There's somebody missing that's gone up to the Avs, and I also think some of the prospects that are still there, like Olausen, Bocage, you know, at times you had Foodie still there, Ranta. A lot of them have stepped up too. Like, maybe you don't really see it like, oh, they don't have 10 points in three games or something like that. But they've been leaned on, and I think that they've been good players for them. And also goaltending. Jonas Johansson has played very well down there. Annanen, good as well, but not quite as good as JoJo. I think JoJo's been exceptional, and that's really helped too. So it is remarkable that they really haven't suffered down there yet. Knock on wood.
Yeah, knock on wood.
It's interesting that go ahead, Evan.
I just want to say it really quickly, just looking at their results. They lost two games in November, and that was it.
Wow.
They lost two games, and then like they've been on it, and it's incredible to see. So
That's
yeah. That, props to them and props to the organization as a whole.
Yeah, well, and Jackie made a good point in saying that, like, to her, it has a lot to do with coaching and strategy. And, like, I think you would hope that, like, the same could hold true with the big guys up in it for the Avalanche and Bednar. But I just think the talent discrepancy when you lose actual NHLers is what we see there. You know what I mean? So
I think it was working. Like, the Avs did okay, right? Like, they had that four game. They won every game on the road trip and won four in a row, beat Dallas. But I just think after that, they sort of slipped under, like, the Mendoza line, right? Like, it was just too much. I do think sometimes teams can play maybe a little bit simpler and go through adversity. And we saw it last year, too. I remember they had a bunch of call-ups, and they beat St. Louis and Minnesota early in the season. And it just happens. Like, sometimes you think, like, oh, McKinnon's out. We're never going to win. And everyone sort of rallies. But there's a limit, right? And I think they've hit that limit. And it has been disappointing to see. Like, they just weren't competitive against Boston. And we haven't seen this team not be competitive like that for a long time. But I think they'll be okay. I think even just getting, like, Nuke and Lehkonen will raise the tide a little bit. And so I think, like you said, the same can happen for the Avs where you're having the adversity, but through coaching and the system and everything, that they'll still be okay.
Yeah, and that's one of my questions, I think, in the next segment, which we can kind of just gradually and nonchalantly move into, which is the preview of tonight's game. Do you think that there's, like, a specific strategy or approach with this sort of roster? Like, let me lay out an example. I really, really liked it when, I think it was Brad Hunt, absolutely destroyed Pastrnak and then beat the brakes off the guy who decided to fight him because of it. Like, I'm not saying that that's, like, a strategy.
That was the other Hunt, Dryden Hunt.
Dryden Hunt, okay. Dryden Hunt.
Brad Hunt's net. Yeah, we have two Hunts in the yeah. market now.
So
it's going to be a blast.
I guess that's not, like, an actual strategy, but my point is, like, it seems like if you embrace kind of the more gritty side of the typicalness of an AHLer and kind of bring that to the surface rather than, you know, try and hide it, is that something that they can have success with, or is that a slippery slope for you, Jack?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's tough because the Avs don't in general play like the grinded out
right
sort of style. Like, what both the Avs and Eagles have is they use their speed well, so I think that's something they can do, and okay. they can really utilize with the call-ups. I do think that as far as like a strategy, and Benner's even mentioned it, I think they work to simplify things. I think the breakout will be simpler, like some of the maybe what they do in the offensive zone, things like that, where you can't just expect three tape to tape passes. There's going to be more turnovers. I think if you're aware of that, if you're aware of just to maybe taking things down a notch.
Gotcha.
But I think they got to stick to what they do best, like the speed, and it,
right.
and that's what the Eagles do well. I don't necessarily see them as so scrappy. I don't really think the Eagles are, but you're right. Like, AHL just in general is more.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting to see if things have changed even a little bit more tonight, because I think they definitely had to look at some things after those Boston games.
Yeah. And Evan, you know, I think it's weird that we saw such a turnaround, even though we were losing more and more guys. And Bednar mentioned this on Altitude this week, that he thinks a lot of it had to do with the fact that he was getting really, really elite goaltending to start this injury wave. Do you agree with that? And what do you think is kind of behind maybe a regression from the keeping?
I agree and I disagree with it, because I feel like maybe that comment was asking for more of his goaltenders.
Right.
In situations like this, you know, you're going to need your goaltender to bail you out sometimes. Mm-hmm. And Georgiev has done that sometimes. But I mean, he's also not helped by the people in front of him. So against his former team tonight, the New York Rangers, I mean, we saw what he was capable of at Madison Square Garden earlier this year,
right,
in that phenomenal win. You know, so I definitely think, because it is the New York Rangers and, you know, he's at home, he's going to have the whole crowd behind him. You know, he's going to be that same fiery self that he was in New York back in October. So I'm hopeful for that. And I'm hopeful for, you know, the team to kind of support him a little bit more, and to kind of launch off of what Jackie was saying about working more with the speed of the Eagles and things like that. I'm surprised yet. I'm surprised that English is hard. That Jared Bednar yet has not like put together any of like the Eagles lines yet.
Okay.
I feel like he has to an extent, but like not fully. They already have the chemistry of working together in the AHL, working. And of course, you know, the AHL is obviously very different from the NHL in terms of, you know, strength and, you know, ability wise and things like that. You know, you're not coming up against Connor McDavid in Loveland. Right. So, you know, trying, I think maybe that is maybe why he hasn't done that yet. But you know, just a thought, but I'm not an NHL coach. So, you know,
yeah,
it's interesting you bring that up, because Foodie, Megna, and Kaut were a really good line in the AHL when they were together, mostly at the end of last year. And you're right, he didn't really try that. I just think it's so easy. If you put them all together, it's so easy to just stop playing that line. Mm-hmm. So I like it better when it's mixed up, because I think it gives the AHL guys more of a chance to keep playing. Other than that, they just, like, the bench gets shortened and they're not used anymore.
I was so, so sad that MacKinnon got hurt so early in that game, because we were all just talking about like how cool it would be to see Newhook and Rantanen and MacKinnon on the same line, just to see if that would open up some ice for Newhook. And sure as shit, Newhook gets a goal like 2 minutes into the game. And
we saw it.
Yeah, and it was looking exactly like what we were hoping for it to look like, which hopefully that also is true in the eyes of Bednar when things kind of start to come back to a semblance of normalcy, because it would be nice to see if that is something that could unlock Newhook's potential. Because if he could fit in the one on the first line and you could move Landeskog to the second line, why the hell wouldn't you do it? You know what I'm saying? Like, that would be a blessing in disguise. You would think, oh, actually what ended up happening was Landeskog is our 2C. The whole time, and we didn't know it. Obviously, in the grand scheme of like who's most impactful, it's still Landeskog. But in the event of trying to win games, I think like that's a pretty ideal situation. So yeah, I was so sad to see that. But I hope when they come back to health, that they circle back to that idea. Evan, do you think that would be something you'd like to see too?
Yeah, I completely forgot that we had talked about that until you brought it up. Hurts my heart now that happened. I forgot about that. But no, I do think that would be a really good idea to try. I mean, who does Newhook have tonight with him? He's gonna have,
let's see,
Comfer and...
probably meet. Well, isn't it, would you think Nuiko and Nichushkin? I would think.
I would hope so. Yeah,
I feel like they'd want Val on the first line. Maybe, I don't know. Regardless,
that is the
being,
first line.
Yeah, that should be the first
shoot,
line.
You're right. Anywho, look. Point
hey,
being,
you're forgiven in this crazy time right now.
Yeah, I know.
Things are ridiculous. I was trying to think of like where would you put like Houdon then, and then like Jean-Luc
So
Floody, and I don't know,
here's what
but.
Puckpedia has right now. They got Newhook, Rantanen, Nichushkin, Cogliano, Comfer, O'Connor, Dryden Hunt, Ben Myers, Charles Houdon, Jean-Luc Foudy, Cal Burke, and Jacob McDonald, backed up by Sammy G and Cale, Taves and EJ. Interesting. I wonder if that's correct. And Brad Hunt and Andreas Englund.
I think
Oh, gosh,
Gerard
that
did
third
play
pairing.
with
Right.
Makar at least to start last game, so I think that part could be accurate.
Okay.
I would hate to see Foodie on whatever fourth line it is with McDonald, because
Yeah.
like he what do you what on earth would you expect from that kid at that, like,
Yeah.
he's been really good and
That
he's
is
been good
exactly what I was
at
thinking.
creating for himself, but that's just such a like a death sentence, I think, to play on a line like that.
Yes,
But
so he's with Cal
yeah.
Burke and Jacob McDonald. Cal Burke, he's the kid who he played in Notre Dame, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he,
He's older.
yeah, he's even older than Ben Myers, correct?
I
Yes,
believe, yeah,
yeah. I believe Cal,
probably.
I think Cal's like 28 or something like that.
Do you think we start to see Ben Myers kind of progress a little bit, or do you think he's also just not going to get much given he's going to be the best player on his line, basically?
I hope so. I really hope so.
It's tough
Sorry,
to
go ahead,
say
Jackie.
because I do feel like they're invested in Myers. It will be very interesting to see, like, does he stay at this point, or are they going to look to send him back once they get, Lekkonen and maybe somebody else next week? Because he's
Yeah.
not good in the D zone, and I think that's really what they wanted him to work on in the AHL. And I still think he needs help in that area, but I could see it go either way, where he can play center. He is good when the puck's moving forward. Are they just gonna commit to him and live with it, or is he gonna get sent back? So I guess for tonight, I'd like to see maybe Myers and Foodie and Houdon. That's probably the line I'd like to see. And then you just have Hunt, Burke, and McDonald, and they can just never play. That's okay too.
No, I like that idea. I like that. I like that.
Yeah, let's
Where do
be
you have Bednar's
honest
phone
right now,
number?
like the third line is a fifth line.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The second line is a fourth
Yeah.
line. Yeah, the third line is a fifth line. The fourth line is a
Is a
no
no is yeah,
line.
exactly. Is a no line. So if you can keep that no line and make sure they get no ice, like I'm fucking all on, pardon my French, I'm all on board with that. Don't worry, we're live on YouTube, baby, and I can beep that out in the recording. And that's actually
Yeah.
something I haven't been able to do yet. We're always so we keep it like PG-13 most of the time. We're not like G-rated. We're not Disney Channel stuff over here, but yeah,
We're trying to be good. It's hard to be Disney rated with all these injuries right now.
I've never had to
Not
go
very
YouTube the
Disney.
beep sound, so I can't wait for it. It's gonna be awesome.
Just get a soundboard. Just get a soundboard, and when you're gonna say something, then you gotta push the
I
button.
think PG-13 allows for one, right?
Well, yeah,
Isn't that
at
the rule?
least one.
PG-13 has one.
Yeah, well, the other day, Mosier dropped the GD live on the altitude airwaves, and I think he was talking about McKinnon, because I think it was like simultaneously when the news dropped that it was gonna be like at least 4 weeks, and he kind of just started losing his mind live on air. So like it was like, oh, Mosier, you and all the rest of us, my guy.
I was gonna
I
say,
could
but you
see
took the
it
words
when
right out of my
Miko
mouth.
left the bench last game. At that point, you're just like, we're
What are
all
we?
done
Yeah,
if
take me now.
Miko's
I know it like it kind of got awkwardly grim on social media when McKinnon went down. I was like, okay, guys, we're getting a little bit carried away over here, but nonetheless, I think the Avs are capable of turning it around. For the fans, I threw up the bottom nine. Because I feel like, let's talk about it. We just did a little bit in
You
terms
know it's
of.
real bad.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, you know it's real bad when the image that pops up has three players without a
Yeah,
number
there's no number
on
at all.
the there's
Yeah.
no number for who is for Houdon, for Burke, and for Foodie.
Yeah.
So that's when you know it's real bad.
Well, the other thing is Vegas is starting to be wise to all of this. And it's another question I put in the script, which is like, I don't know if the two of you ever do any sports gambling, but you know, this is one of those weird times to be a fan because your heart tells you, and Jackie, you told me you always bet against your favorite team in the event that they lose. So you hedge your bet. That's pretty smart. But like, I'm the type, yeah. I typically bet with my heart, but right now it's impossible. Like the Avs are home dogs. To the
I was surprised. Honestly, I was surprised when I saw that they weren't favored at home. That was like, ouch.
Right. I think it's the natural response, though, when the Bruins just came in and shut us out at home. But the kicker for me is Gorgiev against his former team. So, Evan, you talked a little bit about Gorgiev, and I want to make sure that everybody listening knows that it's Alexander, not Alexander. I want to make that clear for the ESPN crew, too. Because I have a feeling they're going to throw that E in there at some point. But tell me, like, do you think he's poised for another performance like we saw earlier on in the year? Or is that just something we can't be realistically expecting from him night in and night out?
I'm hopeful. My heart says yes, that we're going to get that.
You're hopeful that you're
that
hopeful.
Performance appearance. That English is hard. I'll blame it on my college finals since it's final time. But I'm hopeful that we're going to get that same performance that we got in New York. My head is telling me that it's going to be really hard for that to happen just because of the guys in front of him, like I said.
Right.
But with that being said, I said it when I went onto the folks over at Philadelphia Flyers on their podcast on SB Nation. But I'd said, like, the nice thing about Georgiev is that, you know, he's started his career as an Avalanche a whole lot better than his previous,
yeah,
you know, the previous goaltenders that have been here. I mean, you look at Kemper's first starts, you look at Grubauer's first starts, they both really struggled. And Georgiev so far has not. That might change just because, like, his numbers might go down just because of the fact of the players that he has in front of them.
Right.
You know, I think it was a 0.918 percent save percentage. I think his goals against average is somewhere around 2. So, you know, it's something to be proud of and, you know, glad that he's still here, obviously, and not, knock on wood, not with everybody else on the IR.
Right.
You know, when you look at both of them, when you look at Georgiev, you know, you're hopeful that he's able to pull out another performance tonight. And you know, his team is relying on him at this point, ultimately. You know, I know Bednar, I don't know if Bednar actually talked about it. I might be lying, but you know, you're hopeful that you're. I don't want to be misinforming people here, but. You know, you want your goalie to steal games, like I said earlier. So,
yeah.
Hopefully, you know, we get that New York Ranger performance from earlier this year against the New York Rangers again tonight. And it would be a great way to stop the skid. I'll say that. I don't remember the last time the Avs lost 3 games straight, to be quite honest. So
I was looking at I was looking at last year's schedule, and I want to say it happened like once at the beginning of the season. And we're talking regulation losses here. And then I don't know that it happened again until the very end of the season. And even when they lost on the way out at the very end of the season, I'm not even sure that it was all 3 straight regulation losses. So it really has been a long time since the Av fans especially have had to endure a time frame like this. And you can see it. Like, it shows... It shows that we've been spoiled lately, because like a lot of Avs fans have like gone totally off the rails on Twitter talking about trading people and whatnot. But you know, Jackie, for you, is it time to pull the ripcord, or are you still pretty confident in this team going forward?
Oh, sure. I think we'll see better, and it'll get incrementally better.
Yeah.
And like I said, sometimes adversity pulls everyone together. So even just like 2 more NHL players in the lineup, I really do think will make a difference. And they'll be a lot more competitive than they were. No, I wouldn't say I would lose hope. Definitely losing a goaltender would be bad. I'll knock on some wood too. I will say, you know, it's nice that we won the cup, so that it doesn't feel like an opportunity slipping away,
right.
That we at least climb the mountain once. So it should be more like, if this season totally goes terrible, they still have their first round pick. If they say pick top 10, like, it just, everything is a disaster and they pick top 10. So what? They're going to get this is a great draft. They don't even need to get Bedard to get a great player. If they even got another top 10 pick, I mean, the talent infusion they'd get from that is something they really need. And then you have your core, you still have your core next year. You're still going to bring back McKinnon and Rantanen and McCarr and a lot of the other good players. So in the grand scheme of things, it's not even that bad, even if this season goes in the toilet. Like, at the end of the day, they'll still be fine and they'll still have several more opportunities to win the cup again. So I don't want to see any panic trades. Don't get rid of that first. They need it. They're going to need the talent. It's just not worth it. And this team will be fine moving forward for years to come.
Yeah, I agree with
don't
you. Like, we had our
Jackie's
window.
Facts.
Yeah. Facts, Jackie, with the facts. We had our window,
yep,
and we hit.
Yep.
We hit already. If we get anything else, it's kind of icing on the cake. We want to, of course, we want to go back to back. We want to start a dynasty.
Yeah.
But the reality of the situation is that's a very difficult thing to do. As we were beaten over the face with repeatedly in the Stanley Cup final, it's hard to go back to back. And everyone said, tip your cap to the Lightning, tip your cap to the Lightning. And I was the first one being like, whatever, whatever. But I mean, we're not even a month, 2 months into the campaign of trying to repeat. And it's like, whoa, okay, I totally get what they're saying. That's a difficult thing to do. So moving on, it all kind of starts with tonight, at least for us. Bold prediction time, Rangers Avalanche tonight. We'll start with you, managing editor Evan. You go first.
Ooh, bold prediction. I don't even remember what my last bold prediction was, so I couldn't tell you the result of it. But a name that I shouted out once tonight already, but I wish we did more, was Charles Hudon.
Okay.
Because he's been really good in his first couple of games here. So I think you kind of know where this is going.
Goal time?
Hudon, goal time.
Yeah, baby. We got a goal call. Need to get that button.
I hope. He deserves it. He really does deserve it. And if he's with the right guys, if Bednar decides he wants to put him with Foodie, I guess not Cap because he's not with the Avs anymore, but put him with Foodie, you know, I think that only helps his chances.
Awesome, yeah. Okay, so we got a Hudon goal prediction from Evan. And folks, don't forget to head on over to milehighhockey.com for any of your pregame and preview needs. We also have a live thread that you can follow on Twitter. We basically will walk you through exactly what's going on in the game if you don't have access to watching it, which I know is actually, unfortunately, a common theme around these parts, especially regionally. So we'll continue with you, Jackie, your bold prediction for tonight's game against the Rangers.
Okay, I believe my last bold prediction was McCarr finally gets the hat trick, which, heck, if they even scored 3 goals at even strength, we'll probably be happy. or even
he
one.
He did get on the board, though, so you weren't too far off.
Yeah. I do want to say, if I was going to pick a depth goal, I'd love to see Foodie score, but I will put this bold prediction out there that he is the last call up standing.
Oh.
I want to put that out there in the universe.
I
so,
like that.
So I'm going to bet on my guy Foodie and that he's impressed enough and he's still around that he outlasts like Myers and Hudon. I doubt they'll cut Hunt, but Foodie's the last call up standing.
So Jean-Luc Foodie is the last surviving call up once these injured Avalanche start to return to the lineup. I like that prediction, and I think that would bode well for the depth of the Avalanche if the return of those injured players goes like to plan. To have a kid like Jean-Luc Foodie, who will have played probably close to like 10 or 15 games if he stays in the lineup by the time he's like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, he's going to have some pretty solid experience here in the next month or so if he's able to stick around. So yeah, I like that a lot. I like that bold prediction. I'll kind of keep it rolling with the young guys because I think that's fun to like talk about some of these kids who you didn't really expect to be in the league. So I'm going to go with the kid from Notre Dame that I talked about earlier. I think Burke's getting on the board tonight. I'm not going to say a goal. I'll just say a helper. I think he's going to get a helper. So that's my bold prediction. I hope it comes true, but I think the boldest of predictions would be that the Avalanche secure a solid victory. If they get a victory, it's going to be in a close game. I think you two would agree with that, yeah?
If they get a victory, yeah. I'm going to the bars tonight. I don't care that it's finals time up here. I will go to the bars because I'd be thrilled. I would be thrilled with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, same here. Well, you two are the best. Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you guys coming on. I know sometimes my cues are a little impromptu to join the cast, so I appreciate the two of you for always being open to doing so.
Thanks for hosting.
Right on.
As we always. Don't have a show if we don't have a host.
Yeah. Heck, that's true. I'm Adrian Hernandez. This is the Mile High Hockey Lab, brought to you by milehighhockey.com. If you enjoyed this broadcast, please be sure to head on over to Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, Audible, and you can find this podcast in its recorded form on those podcast platforms. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube. Give us a follow on Twitter. All three of us are available. You'll see all three of us and our Twitter links through the @MileHighHockey Twitter. Again, I'm Adrian. Let's go beat the Rangers tonight. You two have a good one. Thanks again. Have a good one.